Hi, everybody. And now we continue. We're almost at the end of section one of discipleship in the New Age, volume one. And let's just see here. All right. In the segue, DK basically says that his protective love surrounds all of us. Well, at least the people that he was working with at the time, and some of those people may be back already, but whatever groups that he does have, his protective love surrounds us, and upon this fact, we can count. Our job is to stand by our group brothers in love and understanding. And always, DK is there when he must be. But there is a battle, and he does say in the last analysis, the battle is yours. Well, I hope we can realize that. See that you battle, he often says. And he points to the fact that for the disciple, the battle is ongoing. Now, actually, we have reached part number nine. And so you can see there's only 13 pages remaining in this section, or this particular part, yes, and in this section. Sorry, a little bit of unclarity in my voice at the moment. I'll do my best. Now, he goes on to say that the secret of all true meditation work in its earlier stages, and may I say, notice he points out the earlier stages, is the power to visualize. Probably in the later stages, something much more subtle is required. Anyway, he tells us, this is the first stage to be mastered. Disciples should lay the emphasis upon this process, he tells us. In it, eventually, note the word eventually, in it lies eventually the power to use the creative powers of the imagination, excuse me, the word was ability, the ability to use the creative powers of the imagination, plus mental energy as a measure to further the ends of the hierarchy and carry out the divine plan. all the new processes in meditation techniques for which the new age may be responsible. So let us note that new methods will be coming in, must and will embody visualization, he says, as a primary step and for the following reasons. Okay, well, I think I'll keep this all in the yellow font. When you look at some of the intricate artwork that is or has emerged from the Buddhist monasteries, you can see that it must have been pre-visualized before it has been actually rendered in paint or whatever the medium might have been. It's extremely detailed, and probably, may I say, that the amount of detail in it is far greater than the detail we are used to putting into our visualizations. And let's see why visualization has to be so fundamental as the secret to all true meditation work. Let's see what he says. Okay. So here are the following reasons that he gives us. Number one, visualization is the initial step in the demonstration of the law, the occult law, that energy follows thought. This, of course, he says, everyone interested in occult study recognizes theoretically. One of the tasks, he says, confronting disciples is to achieve factual knowledge of this. So the very first thing, then, may I say, is that energy follows thought is an occult principle, energy will flow along the channel which thought creates, and of course, let me say, we've all repeated that maxim many times, but there's more to it. We actually have to work it so we know that it is so. And I think it's Master Moria who gives us an occult hint that when we want to think in a person's direction and reach them, we first call their name three times. Three is a charm, as they say. Okay, so DK goes on. Pictorial visualization, which is a definite feature of the work of many esoteric schools, is simply an exercise to bring out or bring about the power to visualize. Now, what is the difference between pictorial visualization or and the power to visualize? Perhaps it is that we take some object. I used to practice this. I'd look at the object, then I'd shut my eyes and see if I could sustain the image of what I had just seen. And yes, I'm remembering practice along that line quite a few years ago, before I went to the Arcane School. It seems an aspect of memory may be involved here. But sometimes, may I say, when you look at an object, you don't want to continue to repeat it in detail. You want to activate the heart so that your relationship to that object becomes one of being rather than seeing. Really, may I say, you want to do both at different times and for different purposes. Master DK goes on. He says, in the work of those disciples who are being trained for initiation, and may I say, maybe that means immediate initiation, because in a sense, all disciples are being trained for initiation. The one that lies ahead of them, whether immediately or a life or two, or however many ahead. Little dry here, I'm sorry. In the work of those disciples who are being trained for initiation, this external aspect of visualization must give place to an interior process, which is the first step toward the direction of energy. So at first, as we have seen, or as we suppose, we visualize some real object pictorially. Later, we become a director of energy using the power to visualize and the mind to direct the energy flow. Going on with DK, the visualizing of pictures is intended to focus the aspirant within the head at a point midway between the pituitary body and the pineal gland. In that area, says the Tibetan, he draws pictures and paints scenes, and thus acquires facility to see in large and in detail that which he desires and for which he intends to work. So, may I say, that is the preliminary. And he's, you know, told us where this takes place, and given us a little bit of a description of how it proceeds. He draws pictures and paints scenes and thus acquires the facility to see, we might say holistically, DK says, in large and in detail, that which he desires and for which he intends to work. Okay. But now the contrast comes. The visualizing, he says, of what might be called, quote, directed process. Note the idea of direction, or possibly directing a stream of energy. So, repeating here, the visualizing of what might be called, quote, directed process goes on in a more focused manner. And in the area directly around the pineal gland. So, has he not given us some locational idea of how these two different kinds of visualization are occurring? It goes on, he tells us, the second mode of visualizing, which has to do with the directing of energy in a more focused manner and in the area around the pineal gland. The pineal, he says, the pineal gland then becomes the center of a magnetic field which is set in motion in the first place by the power to visualize. I think that's really important, that visualization sets the pineal gland in motion. At that point, he says, energy is gathered by the disciple and then directed with intention to one or other of the centers. So, may I say this seems to be a way of vivifying the centers. The focused thought produces inevitable effects within the etheric body, and thus two aspects of the creative imagination are brought into play. So these are technicalities given by DK about the two phases of the visualization process. And it's all part of a section here that basically tells us that visualization is the initial step in the demonstration of the occult law. That energy follows thought. And we're examining now new processes of, well, new to us, of meditation techniques, which will be prepared, or which will come to us one way or another during the new age. And visualization will be key. May I say that when we look at something, we have choices about how we will deal with the image. We can try to reproduce it. We can send or direct energy towards it, or we can find a way to identify with the being or the beingness of it. All right, so the we're dealing with reasons right now. The reasons that will characterize the visualization techniques of the Aquarian Age. Number two, the power to visualize is the form-building aspect of the creative imagination. And I think, may I say, that part of our work in assisting the work, the divine plan, is to build the proper forms on the outer plane where great changes must take place. We may remember that in the table of creative hierarchies, the sign Aquarius is associated with the outermost process and with the moon, which of the five non-sacred planets represents, above all, the physical body. With Earth as the etheric body and Mars related to the astral body and possibly Pluto to the mental body, and the Sun to the entire personality. But anyway, point two, the power to visualize is the form building aspect of the creative imagination. This process, DK tells us, falls into three parts, corresponding somewhat to the creative process followed by deity itself. So let's see what he has in mind. Point A, the gathering of qualified energy within a ring pass knot. Well, may I say, if you're going to work with the creative process, you've got to have the material with which to create. Then point B, the focusing of this energy under the power of intention. At a point, as he has been telling us above, at a point in the neighborhood of the pineal gland, which is more central to the brain structure than is the pituitary body, may I say. So now, the energy, the gathered energy, the energy is now focused and not diffused. And then point C, the dispatch, that means the sending, the dispatch of this focused energy by means of a pictorial process, and not by an act of will at this time, but he seems to suggest, may I say, perhaps in the future, by an act of will. But anyway, as he says, the dispatch of this focused energy by means of a pictorial process in any desired direction. And that is to certain centers in a certain order. Well, we're talking about the vivification of the etheric body, which is one of the major types of direction we can undertake through visualization, but perhaps there will be a dispatch in the direction of some individual or some group. I think we can see that we can be effective energy directors through the use of directed energy, directed thought. Okay, so we're dealing with the process of energy direction, and I think we can be pretty sure that Master DK also deals with this process when he seeks to reach us. So DK goes on to say, this process of energy direction can become a spiritual habit if disciples would begin to do it slowly and gradually. May I say, there is always a safe and certain technique that can be used, and so often we as disciples might work in a haphazard manner, and thus negate the value of what we are trying to undertake and accomplish. So he's giving us a sense of the sequence of things, how to practice the way many occult schools may practice, and eventually how to become really proficient in energy direction. I want to say that so often when we speak, we are directing energy, but in a haphazard manner. At first, we must understand page 517 of Esoteric Astrology, that the Earth is ruling the throat center, from which energies and forces pour forth in a manner somewhat unregulated. But then, during the stage of discipleship, Saturn takes over the rulership of the throat center, and eventually, I would say, the ability to pronounce the magical words when Uranus is found controlling the throat center. So anyway, slowly and gradually, I'm thinking about somehow how the a pianist would approach a rapid and difficult passage. If the pianist simply jumps in and tries to play the passage rapidly, all kinds of mistakes will be made. But if the passage of notes is rehearsed slowly and gradually, the speed can be increased. DK goes on and says, at first, the visualizing process may seem to you to be labored and profitless, but if you persevere, you will find eventually that it becomes effortless and effective. Well, right there is some sound advice. And the old saying is, of course, practice makes perfect, but we have to understand the manner of the practice that we will pursue. So let's remember his words. About energy direction. And he tells us further, this is one of the most important ways in which a master works, and it is therefore, it is essential, therefore, that you begin to master the technique, because may I say, after all, we are on our way to becoming a true initiate and eventually a master, and somewhere along the line we have to begin to pick up the methods which characterize the master's now accomplished methods. After all, how does a master reach us? And he does reach us. He was certainly reaching those accepted disciples in his group, those disciples who stood on the periphery of his ashram. He wasn't appearing in their room the way Master Kuthumi, on a mission of some importance for the future, appeared to Alice Bailey one fine, was it Sunday morning? Anyway, everyone was out of the house, and there was a knock at the door, as we know. I think from the unfinished autobiography, and in came a materialized form of Master Kuthumi, but at our stage of development, and according to the importance, somewhat reduced importance of what we are doing, though it has importance, we're not going to expect an apparition of that kind. We will expect the Master to reach us via energy direction. So, what is the technique? And what are the stages of this technique? And basically, Master DK gives these stages to us. A process of energy gathering. Now, you know, this is a summary, right? This is a summary of what he has given above. So a process of energy gathering, b a process of focalization. So we have to understand this is not sort of a random and chaotic or undirected process. And C, a process of distribution or direction. And may I say, this is something we must learn to practice. So let me say, I would guess that the kind of energy we want to send is an important consideration. There are so many different kinds of energies which we might, working with the soul, as a master working with the soul of our chela, send. So many different kinds. What do we want to send? Is it strength? Is it beauty? Is it truth? To name three. We have to think of the condition of the etheric body if we're seeking to animate in some way the etheric body. We have to think of the condition of our fellow disciple, or perhaps a disciple of lower rank, if we happen to be the guiding disciple for a chela in the light, and in a way for little chelaship, we may be the outer disciple who is in a more ordinary way, more conventional way, guiding the little chela. What do we want to send? How shall we focus it? And maybe, you know, how long shall we hold the sending? And what will be our mode of visualization as we are holding the sending? And how much in detail will be the sending? So there's a lot to practice here. And the master is a master of this process. And you know, the interesting thing is that so often we don't know when ascending has come from the master. It's like the idea that DK might say to one of his chelas, I wonder if in your fatigue you realize how much I held you up at critical times. Sometimes we might feel a certain kind of lift or uprising. It reminds me of the story of the Christ and his disciple walking along the shore of the beach. Is it called Footprints in the Sand? And suddenly there were only one set of footprints, and the disciple chastened the Christ or somehow complained that you abandoned me at that moment and I had to walk alone. And the Christ reassured him that my disciple, that was the moment when you were weakest, and I picked you up, and I carried you, and those footprints are mine. I've always thought of that as somehow a very beautiful story. And how we are likely to misinterpret and even, you know, turn things around entirely from what was their factual nature. So now, two times we have gone through this process, one in greater detail above, and here kind of a summary. But, you know, there is preparation to it. It is an intentional, well-controlled process. Okay. DK goes on and says, the disciple learns to do this within himself. And later, to direct the energy, some chosen and particular kind, according to the demand of the occasion. Now that, may I say, is what I was trying to indicate. The need, the demand of the occasion. So first within himself he does this, and later to direct the energy to that which lies without, i.e. outside, without himself. This constitutes, for example, says DK, one of the major healing techniques of the future. So the first directing is within himself, and then once he masters that technique, he can direct, well, if it's healing, it may well be to an individual or to a group. DK goes on to say, it is also used by the Master in awakening his disciple to certain states of consciousness. But with these you have naught to do. DK, may I say, does not give us everything in his explanations. He gives us, I think, what we can absorb, which, given the detail presented, is certainly not able to embrace all that detail. So then the second of these telling us why visualization is a primary step in the new processes of meditation, which the Aquarian Age will bring, demonstrating that energy follows thought. And as part of a form building aspect of the creative imagination. And now number three, the power to visualize correctly, the Tibetan says, is one definite mode of ascertaining truth or falsity. This is a statement difficult for you to comprehend. Okay. How does a master know whether it is truth being spoken or some glamorous, illusory approximation to the truth, which is not truth at all? So, the power to visualize correctly is one, and there are others apparently, one definite mode of ascertaining, which means to make certain, of ascertaining truth or falsity. Well, we have that old saying, does it ring true? And maybe there's an approximation to that in the visualization process. Does it gel? Does it fit? Now, all this while, what we're looking for is the reasons why the new meditation techniques of the new age must be supported by visualization in one of its modes. We have to realize, you know, keep in mind why we are dealing with these outlines. the demonstration that energy follows thought. It's the form building aspect of the creative imagination, and also there is a question of the ascertaining of truth or falsity. Now, some definitions from DK. Visualization is literally the building of a bridge between the emotional or astral plane and the mental level, and is, therefore, a personality correspondence. To the building of the Antikarana. Now, we know the Antikarana, as DK has given it to us, builds between basically the mental unit and the energies there gathered, and the spiritual triad. So, let's see if I can bring that in. So, the building of a bridge between the astral plane and the mental level. Well, we're always being advised that we're not to supervise the astral plane from a position of the mind held steady in the light. Now, DK goes on, and by the way, the light of the soul, right? DK goes on and says, the astral plane, the second aspect of the personality, is the correspondence to the form-building aspect of the Trinity, the second aspect. May I say, the second aspect is the form builder. The creative imagination, says DK, pictures a form through the ability to visualize, and the thought energy of the mind gives life and direction to this form. Now, that is an important idea. The creative imagination pictures a form through the ability to visualize, and the thought energy of the mind gives life and direction to this form. Maybe life here does not mean being, it means the ability to move, vitality. It, says the Tibetan, it embodies purpose. We can have, of course, various pictures in form. But why have we created them, and what is their mission? And are they aligned with what must be externalized in form? So DK goes on saying, thereby a rapport or line of energy is constructed between the mind and the astral vehicle, And it becomes a triple line of energy when the soul of the disciple is utilizing this creative process in some planned and definitely constructive manner. A triple line of energy. I think I'll make all of that a little bolder. So a line, a rapport, or line of energy is constructed between the mind and the astral vehicle. And it's the lower correspondence of the method that the Tibetan has taught us about antahkarana building. Well, I think the thing to remember is that the second aspect of divinity is the form building aspect. Now, it may need other rays to refine it, give it additional clarity and functionality, but definitely the second aspect, which is why the imagination is found in the astral vehicle on the second subplane. Note, so it's a form building aspect on the second subplane. But then, of course, it has to be given life and direction. And if that is to be the case, the soul has to be involved. The mind, really, but as inspired by the soul. Well, all of this, friends, is a little bit intricate, but DK pretty well tells us that if we continue working with it properly, gradually, it will become like second nature, easily accomplished. So I think we have to take him at his word. He goes on to say the visualizing process and this use of the imagination form the first two steps in the activity of thought form building. It is with these self-created forms embodying spiritual ideas and divine purpose that the masters work, and hierarchical purpose takes shape. The first two steps of active thought form building. Well, we become form builders in order the better to serve the manifestation or materialization of the divine plan. And DK does go on. He says, therefore, my disciples, it is essential that you begin with deliberation, meaning, of course, you've made a definite choice, backed by fixed intention and a certain firmness of the will that we can at least understand, at least that aspect of the will. Repeating then, therefore, my disciples, it is essential that you begin with deliberation and slowly to work in this manner, and to use the above information constructively and creatively. May I say, this is not going to be achieved overnight. And there is the tendency to read about it and then not do it. So somehow we have to practice what the Tibetan advises. He says, the need of the times is increasingly great, and the utmost of work and of purpose is desired. Again, this is material given out before, I believe, before the Second World War, actually precipitated. So, sometimes, friends, it seems like so much is demanded of us. But the path of discipleship is exacting. It's not easy. And we fulfill or we do not fulfill. So let us hopefully be among those who do actually fulfill. Now, we've gone here as far as page 91. And we've seen '89 to '91, it seems that in the approximately one hour programs, that's about all I can do. We've begun section 9. And we've learned about the importance of visualization and the new techniques of the New Age, which rest upon the power to visualize in a couple of different ways. One is outpicturing, and the other is energy directing. And DK wants us to be efficient and constructive. So, from, let's see, I think from 89 to 91, and it's part 9, of the Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, Section 1, Part 9, Video Commentary. Today is the 1st of September, and we will go on from page 91 with, whenever we can do it, with 11 days left. Not 11 days, but 11 pages before we finish that entire section one of this book. And really, there's been here an injunction to practice slowly, deliberately, building up speed as we go, but not just jumping in any haphazard manner. So it will be program number 40. And I'll take us into it as soon as maybe possible. There's just so much to do. I wish there were more time, but then the idea is to use time as efficiently as possible under the circumstances, whatever they may be. So Tuya and I wish you many blessings, lots of love, and the whole communications team, BL, Joe, Mikhail, Michael, and so many of you that have helped along the way, especially as our virtual conference times draw near. The sixth ray is the subject of the upcoming conference, and it will be important to consider the higher aspects of the sixth ray, because there's still a very big cycle of some 21,000 years remaining in the expression of the sixth ray on a larger turn of the spiral. The science of cycles is an amazing thing. And we have only the slightest little bit imparted to us. But okay. As we go, we will absorb and we will learn how, as individuals and groups of individuals, to use that knowledge constructively. The masters do that. An unexpected cycle may suddenly break in on a cycle which is being attended to at the moment. The masters probably, well, they will know it's coming. We, without that kind of knowledge, which pertains to the all knowledge of the atmic plane, do not know it's coming. And we are surprised and put into a condition of imbalance. But greater and greater will become our knowledge, and especially as we use it wisely, constructively, lovingly, serviceably. When we use knowledge in the right way, more comes to us. Okay, friends, that's going to be it for right now, and other broadcasts. This is a Zoomcast, okay? But broadcasts will be taking place tonight. The 1st of September. Love and many blessings, and we'll be with you.